You feeling good?
We're gonna do this together.
5 seconds to the open.
Everyone here is the best there is.
Amazing.
This is it.
Things are about to get a little bit more exciting.
You ready?
Welcome to Spotlight Conversations, a podcast that introduces you to voices and perspectives from all corners of the entertainment biz, from radio and television to music and publishing. Unscripted and mostly unplugged, our special guests tell their stories of how it started to how it's going now. And here's your host, radio personality and VO pro, the rock and roll homemaker herself, Donna Reed.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mark. Couldn't do it without them. Couldn't do it without you for listening for such a long time. 4 years running. I come in here every other Tuesday and talk to friends in media. How did you get to that gig? How did you stay there? What makes you love it so much? There's so many things to find out. A lot of times I find out answers to questions that I didn't even know about from them. And some of these people I've known for quite a long time. So it's always a surprise for both me and for you. And I appreciate you sharing the listening journey along with me. Find out more about what I'm doing on Instagram at Spotlight Conversations, also at Donna Reed VO. Oh, and the website, spotlightconversations.com. If you've worked any length of time in radio, any length of time in voiceover, you're familiar with Haas. You've worked with Haas. You know somebody who's worked with him. What? Haas of Haas Management. You're going to find out everything you need to know. He's in the studio today. So happy, Haas, to have you be a part of Spotlight Conversations.
Donna, thank you for having me. I am absolutely fabulous this morning. I am on coffee cup number 5, I think.
Good for you. I'm only on 1, so there could be a problem if I can't think of a good question. I have so many questions, though. First of all, how did you end up in the voiceover business as a talent manager?
Oh, I think I always say that I fell into this business by mistake. Mm-hmm. I was working in New York City, kind of bouncing between jobs, and I ran into a classmate from college who happened to be Howard Stern's agent. She said, you know, you should go work for my dad. And I didn't give it a second thought. I had no idea what a talent agency was or what a talent agent did. And then a couple of weeks later, I called her and said, you know, could we set something up? And I ended up going to work for Don Buchwald in his commercial department, not in voiceover. Mm-hmm. I started as an assistant to an on-camera agent, a guy by the name of Michael Raymond, who is quite well known in the on-camera commercial world, and then transferred into the promo voiceover department after a year or so. It just ended up being a more exciting division than the on-camera division, but I enjoyed my time.
Now, what was your major and what college did you go to?
I was a history major and I went to Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania. Not a lot of Lafayette College history majors become talent agents.
Well, you're forging a new path for people. How do you think the history major helped you become a good agent, a good rep, the ability to spot talent?
I think so. I think history is a good major for anyone in the business world. You know, what is the greatest predictor of the future is we should look at our past. Mm-hmm. And see what's happened before. I regularly reference my history degree in talking about radio and, hey, what's happened before is most likely to happen again. And, you know, that does ring true frequently, not always, but frequently.
And I just want to say also for the audience that you represent and have always worked with radio people who do voiceover imaging. Is that right?
That is correct.
Now, the transition from one to the other is unique and not everybody can do it. What are the obstacles you see for that?
Well, first and foremost, radio people like to work with, by and large, like to work with other radio people. So a lot of radio voiceover branding talent you will find have a radio background, some exposure to radio. They either worked as a jock they worked as a creative director or a production director at a radio station. And again, radio people like to speak with other radio people, people who understand their language. You know, just like TV commercial people like to work with other TV commercial people, it's the same in radio, just as it's the same in theater and same in for, I'm assuming it's the same for movie stars.
But radio is different because by and large, one is in a little room talking to many, many people. It's not like theater folks who are right up there in front and they see their audience. Does that make a difference?
There is something very solitary about radio. You are absolutely right. You know, radio people, for me, I've always found they have to be a little more dynamic and, you know, because they are solitary, because there's no visual media to back them up, that they have to be more engaging.
Have you ever had a radio talent that just couldn't make the transition to doing voiceovers or TV promo work or, you know, was in a studio with a director, just couldn't make that transition?
Have I ever had a talent?
Yeah. Have you ever seen that happen?
There are lots of very accomplished voiceover people that their voices do not translate well on the radio. Just as there are lots of amazing radio voices who don't translate well on TV. Being a switch hitter, being able to hit from both sides of the plate, that's the dream for every agent and every manager. Someone that does both well is a very valuable client.
You went off and did your own thing, and you have Haas Management. That's your company. When did you start that?
Haas Management Group started in 2017 after a year of working at CESD Talent Agency. You know, I'd always, after leaving Atlas in 2015, I'd always dreamed of continuing my career as a manager and focusing solely on radio imaging, voiceover talent, and expanding their role in radio as well as in TV and promo and commercial and other areas. You know, I've always had this firm belief that great radio imaging, voiceover talent are really usable in lots of other genres of voiceover, but because of this kind of dynamic, attractive voices that they have.
I noticed you went to the rugby school in England. So are you a sports enthusiast? And does that also play a part in, you know, getting talent together, finding the right people to voice the right jobs, along with the history major? It's an interesting background to work in a talent agency.
Yeah, you know, I would say that I'm moderately into sport. I'm not sports crazy. I don't have to watch football all weekend, every weekend during the football season.
What football? Wait, I have to interject. Sorry. Which football?
American football.
Gotcha.
I did, you know, the Six Nations rugby just happened.
That's right.
And Ireland just won the Six Nations tournament. I watched a lot of rugby. And that was great fun. You know, baseball, I can't sit through a 3-hour baseball game. I can go to a baseball game and enjoy it. I still love cricket.
I could watch
cricket all day. But, my interest in sports kind of aligns with my, you know, I want my clients to be voices on ESPN. I want the NFL using my voiceover talent. You know, when the baseball season comes around, I want those auditions, my voice to be the voice of Major League Baseball on ESPN for the 24-25 season.
So who's your favorite team? You're up in the Northeast here in the States.
I'm a Yankee fan. I get that from my father. I am a Washington football team fan for football. I'm a New York Rangers fan for hockey. And I'm a West Ham United fan for soccer.
I like that. And the reason I bring up some of the English stuff, I have family from England, so I'm thinking of all the names you just mentioned going, okay, that's all good. I've heard all those sports names before.
Do you know where in England your family lives?
Let's see. Well, I married into a family that's from rugby, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay, from the Midlands.
Yes. And that's a whole other podcast, too, that we can talk about. That's a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Going back to voiceover now, you're running Haas Management Group. a lot of people send their tapes and their audio work to you. What percentage are really good? What percentage are like, okay, maybe with training? And then what percentage are like, not for a while yet?
I think 100% are really good. I think most people, if they have done their research and found me, I'm a pretty obscure guy to find in the realm of voiceover. And most people who come across my desk have done their research and realized that I'm a specialist in a certain area of voiceover. Someone not educated in the voiceover world would think is highly obscure. So 8 out of 10 demos that come across my desk are radio imaging demos. Mm-hmm. And they are people who have worked hard at honing that craft and want to expand their business and get more radio imaging work. So I'm very impressed at the quality of work that comes across my desk. For me, it's how badly do they want it? How much rejection are they willing to go through to actually give it a go?
That was my next question. Besides being very talented, you hear a great talent, you know they've been working hard. What other attributes do they need? That passion to do this work?
Yeah. People who want to contribute to their own marketing, people who realize that I'm just one person and that I can't be out there shopping a new client with a new demo every single day. Mm-hmm. The people who realize that, hey, I make 90% of the money, it stands to reason that I do a good amount of the work. And by the work, I mean pitching of themselves. I mean doing their own social media work. It's those people that I'm kind of drawn to, the people that realize, hey, this is a business too. It's not just an art form, and I need to be actively engaged in my own self-promotion.
Is there still a prevailing thought with voice talent where they get into the voiceover business, they get an agent, and then think, okay, I don't need to do anything else? You see that still, even though you're saying right now that you need to get out there and hustle?
Absolutely not. I don't see that at all anymore.
That's good.
And I see, getting the agent, getting the manager is, at least for me, when I sign clients, I do tell them, now the hard work really starts. Mm-hmm. There is no resting on our laurels in today's marketplace. You have to be out there knocking on doors, sowing seeds, all day, every day, selling, because your competitors are doing it. Mm-hmm. Or they are that good that they don't have to do it.
What's your thoughts on AI and radio imaging, the voiceover business, media in general?
I have been a huge supporter of AI. Warren Buffett has this great, great saying, if you can't figure out a way to make money while you sleep, you are always going to be poor. And AI and its ability to voice capture voiceover talent will allow voiceover talent to have this ability where there is a company that is developing a software that will voice capture you as a talent, and they will lease that availability of yours to your promo buyers, to your radio stations, to your TV affiliates, and it will basically allow them to edit your work. It won't replace you, mm-hmm. but it will allow them to edit your work while you're not there. Imagine being able to, you're the voice of Colgate, mm-hmm. and if they had 15 new tags that they needed you to record, and you were on a cruise in the Bahamas without ISDN, without any ability to record, yet they could find this company that had voice captured your voice and use that company and pay you for those 15 tags for you not even having to walk into the studio. I think it's a beautiful, incredible thing. Embrace the technology. It's here to stay. Let's work together with the technology. It's coming for us all.
With that being said, there are a lot of voice talent worry that the wrong people getting a hold of the voice can distribute it in any ways they want and make money from it, and the talent doesn't get anything. I'm putting that question out there because it's a debatable question.
It is, and we work at, you know, we live in this fabulous country, America, where everyone has a right to sue everyone else and lots of attorneys at our disposal. I'm a firm believer in a voiceover's right to publicity. And you want to sue someone because they've stolen your product, I encourage you to do so.
I'm talking to Haas of Haas Management Group in New York. We're talking about voiceovers, getting in the voiceover business, managing talent, representing talent, and his own personal success story. Now, this is it's a difficult business, a very competitive business. And, I mean, we're all fighting demons all the time. You know, who's doing this, who's doing what. What kind of demons do you have to deal with, and how are you, you know, working through that?
This is a hard subject to tackle. I used to be very successful, and I would say that I was the apex predator in the radio station imaging voiceover realms for many years. And my success was fueled by my drug addiction and my alcoholism. I was deeply unhappy, and I was looking for happiness at the bottom of a bottle, and it was never there. And I ended up losing everything. And, you know, today I am doing this as a sober man. I've just celebrated 8 years of continuous sobriety.
Wow. Congratulations.
This past March 19th. I would have more time than that. You know, there was a time that I relapsed briefly after I got into AA and into recovery. And, you know, that to me, it's fighting those demons is it's an everyday job. So I start my day almost every single day with a meeting. And that tends to set the tone for the rest of my day. And I can get through the day and I can deal with the rejection and the loss and I can deal with the difficulties and deal with it as an adult and not have to rely on drugs and alcohol to get me through my days anymore.
And you're supporting what AA does for anyone.
Absolutely. Anybody struggling with their drinking or drug use at this time, I would encourage them to give AA a chance. It saved my life.
Now that you've been through what you've been through, how do you look at the business yourself, and how do you look at it through the point of view of the people coming into it? You know, the wide-eyed, yeah, I want to do this business. It's so fun. It looks like it'll be fun. You probably have a different perspective on their point of view, too.
Yeah, I have been known to tell people, hey, I wouldn't wish a voiceover career on my worst enemy. The reality is the highs can be extremely high. And the lows can be very low. Like any business where there is lots of money at stake, it is brutally competitive. It is vicious. You know, my advice to people is, you know, do the work, let go of the result. You know, the voiceover gods work in mysterious ways. And and sometimes they provide abundantly. And sometimes they are the harshest master you will ever have. You know, do the work, let go of the result. I'm no longer in the results business. You know, what I can control is the amount of work I put into my career, the careers of others. And I have to let go of the result. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I'm okay with that today. I wasn't 10 years ago. I always had to win 10 years ago.
But it's more the journey than just concentrating on the outcome.
Correct.
Wow. So what do you see a couple years down the road? Your business, the voiceover business, the entertainment business is kind of leading back to AI, but not really. I mean, things are changing all over the place.
Oof. That's a really tough question to answer. I still see myself chasing terrestrial radio business 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. I'm not quite sure what place terrestrial radio will have in our world. You know, things change. Radio has been through a very, very rough patch and is losing advertisers rather than gaining advertisers. I would say radio is an endangered media at this point. It's in a difficult spot. I think it is because the landscape is too crowded. I think once there are less radio stations going after a smaller and smaller pie of advertising dollars, I think once there are less stations, the business will improve. I think the same thing for the realm of talent. There are probably too many very good voiceover actors pursuing voiceover today. And I think the pandemic doubled the amount of people pursuing voiceover. I think that will eventually change. People will realize, hey, the gold rush that was voiceover is long over. It is past. And it's the people who really work very hard at the craft, are very devoted to the craft, that are succeeding. It's not the people who come in and out, dip their toes in, do it as a side hustle. You know, those people are still hurting our business. I think this will change. I think, you know, the herd will be cleared in the coming years, and there won't be as many people chasing, you know, the same amount of money. That's my take on the business. It could change.
Well, I have to agree with you for the most part. Sort of a bummer about radio, because it's an intimate medium. And podcasting is replacing that somewhat.
Yeah, I love podcasts, and I see the draw. You know, I get to control what it is that I am listening to and what I want to learn about. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, podcasting is, hey, it's a chance to learn. I can learn more about a specific issue or a moment in history or you know, whatever it is. I get to really feed that interest of mine. My interest is new music. So for me, radio stations are just a podcast that runs 24 hours a day that never really stops. And I think radio will eventually, there will be some glory coming back to radio, just like there is glory coming back to vinyl records right now. People realize that vinyl was so much better than, you know, than tape, than CD quality, than DAT quality. There was this rich, wonderful sound that came with vinyl. I think radio talent and radio stations are going to eventually have that glory again, where, oh my gosh, listening to Z100 in New York is just this magical experience for a kid wanting to find new music.
Fingers crossed.
You know, wanting to listen to a fabulously engaging Elvis Duran.
Yeah. All right, last question I have to ask before you go. And I've enjoyed this, hearing about voiceover talent and branding and the business, your personal journey too. It's great. If you weren't in the entertainment business, what would you be doing?
I would be a school teacher. In college, I minored in education. I taught preschool 1 year. I taught second grade the other year. I love children. I have a 10 and a 12-year-old. The greatest joy I have in life right now is spending time with my kids and their friends. You know, and there's something about schools that are, to me, utterly magical places. Being able to impress upon people in their formative years the importance of kindness, tolerance, patience, love, I would be a school teacher.
You said it so quickly, too. There was no pause. Sometimes I'll ask guests and they'll go, I don't know. Or, gee, that's, but you had it.
Yeah, I've known this for some time now. My mother was a teacher and a very good one. And I think my father would have been a great teacher. He would have been a very good lecturer. But, you know, fifth grade sounds fabulous to me.
You're amazing. I love this interview. Thank you so much, Haas, for popping in on the podcast. This has been great. I've learned so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful. And I look forward to your next invitation.
You've been listening to Spotlight Conversations with Donna Reed. Subscribe on Apple and Spotify podcasts or your favorite platform. Thanks for tuning in.